Hello and welcome to Insights from Sightless Friendly Church. I am Lynn Davies and with me I have Matthew Horspool, and today we are continuing to talk about the sacraments. And this week we are going to talk about the sacraments that involve some of my favourite things. We are of course talking about pretty dresses, golden rings, cakes, flower arrangements, lovely music, tears of joy and the I do's. And of course that can only be one thing: weddings.
Well, what a wonderful introduction. And of course, I can tell that you've been married and I haven't. I've been to lots of weddings. I've actually sung in lots of weddings, and it's a huge privilege, actually, even if it's somebody who you don't know. It's a huge privilege to sing in weddings. And it's an even bigger privilege when you sing in a wedding of someone who you don't know, and then 2 years later you bump into them I was up at the BBC recording the daily service and bumped into someone who said, "Oh, I recognise you. You sang at my wedding," and it was very nice. So it's lovely, but I've never actually been married. So I think you're going to have a lot to say in this episode.
Yeah, there are definitely some things to keep in mind when you get married as a totally blind person, or indeed as someone with partial sight, sight loss, whatever term you prefer. With me, I got married in an Anglican church, despite not normally attending an Anglican church. The reason for that was because the church was very nice and we wanted to be away from the street. And I'm saying that because I got married in Sierra Leone, in Freetown, the capital of Sierra Leone, which is in West Africa. And people have a way of just walking into the church from the street if they see that a wedding is going on. And we wanted a place with a bit of security. So it was a beautiful, beautiful church that we chose. People walking in is not really a problem if you have sight loss, but you do not want distractions when you get married because it's such a big day and you just want to make sure that as much goes to plan as possibly can be. So for me, I got the chance to do the rehearsal before getting married, so the whole walking in. And actually, just to prove a point, I had my husband's cousin walking me down the aisle. He's also blind, and that's why we did it, because we just wanted to prove to the world that a blind person could walk another blind person down the aisle. It was my dad who gave me away, but that walking down the aisle was quite fun to do, just for the sake of it.
Yeah, I can imagine that was actually quite exciting and at the same time quite tense, because although you want to like make a point to the rest of the world, it could have very, very easily gone wrong. So I imagine there was lots of practice that led up to that moment.
Yeah, there was quite a lot of practice. He does have a tiny sliver of sight, so he could see where the benches were, where the pews were, where people were sitting. So we didn't walk into anything. I was just a bit worried when we got to the step. But when you walk down the aisle, you walk so slow that anything like that is going to come with quite a lot of warning. So it is harder than you think to fall flat on your face in your wedding dress, although I am sure it's possible and has probably happened in several rom-coms. So I got to try walking up there, and we practice the vows and how we did the vows. So not necessarily what we say, although we did practice that as well, but the positioning, how it was going to work. We practiced giving the rings with pretend rings. I think we just use someone else's ring for that. How it was going to be when we walked down. Now, of course, what nobody had told me, and which I know I have mentioned in a previous episode, was that I was going to be sitting by myself all through the first part of the ceremony, because of course I wasn't wedded yet and there was nobody on either side of me, and it was really difficult to follow the service, and I wish somebody had told me that. But apart from that, the rehearsal was very, very helpful and I knew what was coming.
And actually, that point of having nobody sat with you for the first part of the service, I think is a really important one, and actually quite a symbolic one. And so actually I'd say it's probably, as someone who's not married yet, I'd say it's probably better to have a rehearsal and get it right rather than have somebody sit with you.
Oh, absolutely. You need to have the rehearsal. I think this is pretty common for any couple, sighted or blind, But the rehearsal is even more important when you're blind. What I actually did have is I had my sister-in-law to be sitting behind me, and so she would tap me on the shoulder when we were standing up and sitting down. I wish I had practiced that as well, because sitting at the front by myself, I felt very visible, and I wish I had got those things right as well. So I wish that had been included in the rehearsal, although her tapping me on the shoulder definitely helped.
Yeah. And I think what's really coming out of this is the independence of it. So a lot of the time in this podcast, we've said, well, you know, it's a really good idea for a person with sight loss to have someone alongside them to, you know, to do the sits and stands and to describe what's going on. Whereas in a wedding, yes, that can happen to a certain extent by, as you say, somebody sat behind you. But if you're actually supposed to be sat on your own, sitting on your own is quite important. And so the least amount of that that you can have is probably the desirable situation.
Absolutely. But then having someone behind you who could tap you on the shoulder that nobody will really see, that really helps. And of course, after the ceremony, when I was sitting with my husband, everything was easy because he has a way of communicating with me that we have worked out different hand signals for different things. So if he squeezes my hand in a certain way, I know it means one thing. If he squeezes my hand in another way, I know it means another thing. So we don't have to actually be verbal. You've got to be pretty close to someone to have worked out a system like that. But it really helped with the communion and the way he would whisper one code word that we had that meant you dip the bread or you don't dip the bread or you take the chalice. I mean, we discussed communion in the episode about confirmations as well, but that was part of the wedding ceremony. I know not every church practices that. So then it becomes a whole lot easier, especially if you then have a sighted spouse. Of course, if you have a blind spouse, then I guess there are the similar challenges, but it sort of helps to be two people sitting together.
Yes, absolutely. I can really see that. And I suppose it would also help having, sound like a bit of a broken record really, but I suppose it would also help having Braille service books or, you know, large print or whatever it happens to be.
I think when you're a bride, you really do not want to carry around any heavy books because you are carrying so many other things. So you have your bouquet, you have your dress, which is, it might not be a big one, but it definitely is a long one. It's a very different from any dress you would normally wear. So as a bride, I would say that your main task of the day is almost to kind of carry yourself and look pretty. And I know that sounds probably a little bit non-feminist, but I think what I mean by that, it's not the most practical time to have a book or a sheet with you. It might be different when you're a groom. What would be helpful maybe is to have a piece of paper with some notes about what's going to happen, so a very light piece of paper that you can sort of put down and pick up. But I certainly wouldn't have wanted anything more than that as a bride.
You know, that's really interesting, because as the groom, as you say, I mean, I'd imagine that the groom doesn't have to have that responsibility to look pretty. So therefore, the groom possibly would benefit from a Braille order of service. And I mean, I'm thinking about things like the hymns and how difficult it must be to follow the hymns if you've not got the words. Presumably you'd have to memorize them or just not sing.
I think, unfortunately, I am in a position where I'm expecting not to know them if I don't know them. And I have found my own way of coping with that by either singing the melody or picking up on the parts of the hymn that I can. So, you know, some hymns have repetitive verses or choruses, and I eventually pick them up and I sing along. It's not ideal at all. And the best thing is to have them in advance and learn them, perhaps. When you choose hymns for your own wedding, you will be choosing hymns that you know. I didn't choose the hymns for my wedding because it was one of the things that my husband really wanted to do. I'm very happy with the ones that he chose, but there wasn't any way for me, and also being in Freetown and not having access to a Braille printer or anything, I couldn't learn them. And I was so stressed with other things that learning the hymns just wasn't at the forefront of my mind. I think when you get married, especially as a bride, I can't speak for grooms, and of course all brides are different as well, but I just think that there are so many other things that you worry about that the lyrics of the hymns might not be the thing that is foremost in your mind.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I'd never really thought about it like that, but it does make sense. And I mean, I wonder, even as the groom, whether you'd be that worried about the words to the hymns. You might be until the day itself, but then on the day itself, I think just you possibly just get absorbed in the moment.
It is a very big thing to get married. And by that, I mean, you really are taking a very official step by formalizing your relationship in front of everyone and in front of God. And you're making a very serious commitment that is hopefully going to last for as long as you live. And just that sheer reflection of that in the ceremony, I found so overpowering that not knowing the lyrics, it was a minor irritation, but it didn't really get to me as much as it probably might have done if I was a guest and I really wanted to sing along.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Well, that's all we got time for today. If you want to get in touch to ask any questions or contribute in any way to the podcast or just to know more about the Sightless Friendly Church, you can do so by calling us on 01 858 438260, and you can also email us on SLFC, that stands for Sightless Friendly Church, at torchtrust.org. We will be back next week with another episode. But for now, from me, Lynn Davis, and Matthew Horspool, goodbye and thanks for listening.